Welcome to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast, a podcast for Canadian small businesses. We interview Canadian experts and entrepreneurs to provide expert insight into marketing, innovation, business leadership, technology, and trends that impact small businesses.
Whether you're just getting started or already established, UPS is here to help you make the most of your time. Their services, tools, expertise, and team of UPS Small Business Ambassadors can help businesses of all sizes simplify processes, improve customer experience, and guide you on the path to growth. My name is Elaine Tancomo, founder of Easy Daisies, Daily Visual Schedules for Kids, and I want to invite you to visit UPS.com to learn more and save up to 52% or more on shipping. This is a paid advertisement.
Hi everyone, this is Mahin and welcome to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast, where we celebrate the diverse tapestry of Canadian entrepreneurship and explore the forces driving inclusive economic growth. Today we're focusing on the significant economic contributions of queer and trans-owned businesses, the systemic barriers they face, and why supporting them benefits everyone. Recent research highlights that 2SLGBTQI plus owned businesses generate billions in economic activity and represent a substantial portion of Canada's SMEs and yet often encounter unique challenges due to their identity. And this discussion will provide valuable insights into fostering a more equitable and innovative marketplace. And to discuss that, joining us today is Daryl Sherman, the co-founder and CEO of Canada's 2SLGBTQI+ Chamber of Commerce, an organization that is dedicated to linking 2SLGBTQI+ businesses to the wider corporate community and fostering economic growth. Today, we'll discuss lots. We'll discuss the economic contribution of queer and trans-owned businesses, why supporting them benefits everyone, and the unique systemic barriers these entrepreneurs face. Daryl, welcome to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you with us. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Daryl, we'll begin our conversation by really understanding the economic contribution of queer and trans-owned businesses, because businesses that are led by these individuals, they are making a significant impact across various sectors, demonstrating the value of inclusion and diversity in the marketplace. And recent data from CGLCC and Deloitte, it really indicates that queer and trans-owned businesses generate over $22 billion in economic activity. Can you please elaborate on the scale of this economic contribution and its importance to the Canadian economy?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So we've estimated that there are over 100,000 2SLGBTQI plus owned businesses across the country. And as you mentioned, in every industry and in every sector of our economy, and they are generating over $22 billion in economic impact. We know that they're hiring, you know, over almost a half a million people across the country. So what we're finding is that these businesses, so as I mentioned, they're creating jobs, they're paying taxation, or they're generating taxes, which is going back into the local communities. So the more that we're able to support these queer and trans-owned businesses, the more that we're helping to strengthen our local economies.
Now, Daryl, that's an incredibly significant figure, and it truly underscores the substantial power, economic power, I should say, and the impact of 2SLGBTQ plus I owned businesses in Canada. Now, beyond their direct economic contribution, you argue that supporting these businesses benefits everyone. Let's kind of delve into why that's the case, because from what we know is that supporting businesses from diverse communities really strengthens the fabric of our entire economy, like creating a more inclusive and sustainable growth model for everyone. Can you tell us why does supporting these businesses really extends benefits beyond the queer and trans community, ultimately really strengthening Canada's entire economy?
So I think you're absolutely right. I think one of the key areas is around the fact that they're hiring, as I mentioned, almost a half a million employees across the country. So they're creating significant employment for quite often more marginalized or underrepresented community members. So we know that of the employee base that our business community is hiring does substantially come from members who have within the 2SLGBTQI plus community, but other equity seeking community groups. So that alone is helping to strengthen our economy by creating employment opportunities for many that quite often are underrepresented in the Canadian workforce. I think in terms of just broader economic impact, what we're seeing is that 2SLGBTQI businesses tend to be, as are other diverse businesses tend to be much more innovative and driving creative solutions to business challenges, as well as kind of global challenges. And so driving that innovation is helping to spur the broader economic growth of the country.
That's, despite their significant contributions, I mean, these entrepreneurs, they often face unique systemic barriers. So we'd love to kind of discuss their challenges as we go next, Daryl. Now, your research indicates that 25% of 2SL LGBTQ I+ entrepreneurs report losing opportunities due to their identity, and 1 in 5 face challenges scaling because of it. What are some of these unique systemic barriers that queer and trans entrepreneurs encounter, and how do they impact their ability to succeed and grow?
So I think we see a lot of common barriers that other diverse and equity-seeking businesses face, like access to capital, like access to mentorship and networks, access to general supports. You know, we know that diverse businesses and queer and trans businesses don't have that same access to supports that many other businesses have that can help them as they're starting out, as they're trying to scale their business. So that's the one area. I think the second area, which perhaps very unique to our community member, is just the ongoing discrimination that they face because of the fact that they are queer or trans-owned businesses. We know that 1 in 4 have actually hidden the fact that they have trans or queer ownership within their business, and that 1 in 3 have actually lost contracts or lost business because of having that. And so what happens is when these businesses are hiding who they are, they're not able to actually put all of that energy into their business and helping their business grow, because they're more focused on that fear of that discrimination. And so that's what we need to try to do, is how do we eliminate some of these barriers? How do we eliminate this discrimination? How do we eliminate this fear of losing contracts, losing business, and get them to focus on what's important, which is really growing their business, scaling their business, and helping to drive the local and Canadian economies.
Mm-hmm. And Daryl, those statistics, they are quite, I would say, striking, and they really highlight real inequities that need to be addressed. And it's clear that identity can still present significant hurdles in this business world. Now let's look ahead to how events like Pride can really drive that change and create lasting impact for these entrepreneurs. Because as we look forward to the future, it's really essential to recognize the pivotal role that inclusivity plays in shaping a more equitable business landscape. Please tell us, why is Pride 2025 a pivotal moment for visibility, economic equity, and collective action in supporting 2SLGBTQI+ businesses? And what kind of message does it send to the broader business community?
Yeah, I think this year, maybe more than ever, and maybe we say that every year, but certainly I think given everything that's going on globally, and certainly south of the border, but also domestically, I think now is the time where we really need to be focused on supporting the 2SLGBTQI+ community and business community, and finding ways to support them. We're seeing executive orders south of the border in the states that, there's kind of the two fronts. I'll use kind of the two sides. On one side, we have the kind of the more social focused, executive orders that are tearing away at diversity, equity, and inclusion policies and practices, across the board, across governments, across corporations, which is having a significant impact on small businesses, on employees within corporations and companies. And then on the flip side, you have kind of on the economic side, you have tariffs, and these ongoing tariffs that have been looming over us, and it's creating a sense of uncertainty, of chaos, for lack of better words. And we know that things like tariffs, we saw this coming out of the pandemic, and we're seeing it again now with tariffs, is that it is having a larger negative impact on equity deserving and underrepresented businesses and entrepreneurs. So we saw that, you know, with women, with Black, with Indigenous-owned businesses, as well as to LGBTQI-owned businesses. And the reason is because they don't have necessarily the same financial benefits to kind of weather these fiscal challenges. They don't have the same access to networks to kind of help to address some of the challenges, and they don't necessarily have the same access to other markets or supply chain to kind of help them address some of the ongoing uncertainty. So we have these two kind of very large challenges going on right now. And that's why I think, you know, Pride 2025 is so important for our community, for our business community, and the broader community, to really understand the impact that that's having on our country, and looking at ways that they can help to play a part in driving kind of some of that change and creating a more inclusive environment for everybody. And so that means, you know, looking at where are we buying our goods and services? Can we support queer and trans-owned businesses, not just during Pride Month, but kind of all year round? Can we support these businesses? Because again, we know that the more that we're supporting these businesses, the more it's supporting our broader economy and our communities in general.
That's a very powerful way to frame Pride. I mean, it really highlights that the celebrations are intertwined with a strong commitment to economic inclusion and equity. And you also mentioned that inclusive economies are stronger. So let's kind of expand on that now, because strong economies, they are built on the foundation of diversity and inclusion. Please tell us, how do inclusive economies become stronger, more innovative, and better prepared for uncertainty? And can you share some examples of how supporting diverse entrepreneurs really contributes to these broader economic benefits?
Well, I think one of the key things here is it is bringing in diversity of thought and perspective. You know, it's similar to why you want a diverse workforce. You want to have people that are looking at things differently, looking at ways to solve problems or challenges in a unique way, ways that we sometimes haven't traditionally. And so the more that we're bringing in diversity of thought, different perspectives, that's going to help us to look at and address questions and challenges and problems in a new way. It's going to help to drive innovation, which is key for the broader Canadian economy. If we want to continue to grow our economy, we need to continue to be more innovative, and Canada right now is lagging in that. And so I think through all of this, a strong, diverse kind of engagement and understanding the importance of diversity and inclusion within our businesses, within our supply chain, that is going to help create a stronger Canadian economy. And it's going to help us weather things like the current tariff threat that we're having right now, or situations like we had 5 years ago with the pandemic and supply chain. You know, it's going to help us be able to weather some of these fluctuations in a much easier way. You know, I think if I'm looking at examples, I'll give you two examples. You know, I was in out west in Edmonton a little while ago, and was meeting with the city of Edmonton, and they were talking about this queer Indigenous entrepreneur that they had that they were working with, and she was a solopreneur, and just kind of for the last little while it was kind of she was trying to scale her business, but the city, through engaging with her and bringing a contract to her, she was able to start to grow her business. So that the city of Edmonton made a conscious decision to find ways to support trans and queer-owned businesses, helping to generate economic growth for her. And through that, she was able to actually start to hire people. She now has a small team working with her. So it's creating employment. It's creating a stronger tax base. which ultimately leads to greater economic benefits for the local community. You know, another example is, you know, we work with a large financial institutions, and they were looking to, one in particular was looking to engage a new marketing firm. And, you know, typically, you know, they would use the same large firms, large agencies, global agencies to deliver on this work. And because these are multi-million dollar contracts. But one of their key things that they're looking at is how do we make sure that that through the agency that we're bringing kind of and representing our diverse employee base, our diverse customer base, our diverse communities in which we operate in. And so they had been engaged and introduced to a queer-owned agency, and they were a boutique agency, and so a lot smaller than your larger global agencies. But what this financial institution found was that by going with this smaller firm, they were able to be more nimble. They were able to adapt on a shorter term, shorter timeline, and be very responsive to that, the diversity of, again, of their communities, of the customers, of their employees, and be able to yield much stronger results than if they had stuck with that same large global corporation agency that they've been working with for years.
Mm-hmm. That's a very clear and compelling argument for the economic benefits of diversity. And it shows that inclusivity is not just as good for society, but good for business as well. And we'd love to conclude, Daryl, by summarizing some key insights for our listeners and really highlight some of the CJLCC's initiatives. So please tell our audience, like, what are the key takeaways you'd like our listeners to remember from our conversation today? And if you can also please highlight 2SLGBTQI+ Global Business Summit in Toronto and the launch of your new membership tier for solopreneurs.
Yeah, well, we just held our summit. It was held in Toronto, so this is our annual Global Business Summit. You know, we had over 350 queer entrepreneurs, business leaders, government leaders, corporations, all coming together for 2 days of education, of networking, of business, of doing business together. You know, that's a big part of what we're trying to do here is how do we help to create connections between our small businesses, our small queer and trans-owned businesses with large corporations that are looking to actively diversify their supply chain. So, you know, those 2 days was so powerful, was so impactful, just to see the community come together to connect. And I think, you know, in such an important time right now where we're seeing so much, you know, anti-EDI, anti-trans legislation, and anti-diversity in general. And I think, you know, it was so good to bring everybody together and just, you know, in a shared and in a shared space where we have kind of lived experiences, I think was so powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, so coming up, we have a couple global trade missions coming up. One of the things that the chamber that we do at the chamber is really help to support our businesses access international markets. So we have done in the past a series of global trade missions, including to the UK, to Colombia, to the US. So coming up now, we have later this year, we'll be going to Mexico as well as to Colombia again this year. So, and to France. So some great trade missions coming up. We also have a new membership tier that we're rolling out. And that is really to make sure that we are inclusive of all entrepreneurs. And so for those solopreneurs, for those freelancers, basically, if you run your own business, if you consider yourself an entrepreneur, you have a place within CGLCC. So we're really excited about that. But we have, you know, we are a national nonprofit organization, so we operate coast to coast. And so we have a series of events happening everywhere. And so, you know, depending on where you as a listener are, you know, I'd encourage you to visit our website to find out what sort of events that we have going on in your area that can help you and help connect you with other queer and trans-owned businesses.
Thank you so much, Arlo. So this is all very exciting, and we're very excited to have these resources be, you know, showcased with our listeners that are, you know, looking for, you know, help and support. But thank you so much for your, you know, sharing your expertise and your insights with us today, and your dedication overall to fostering the economic growth through diversity and inclusion. It is truly valuable for our listeners today. So we really appreciate the time that you took out to join us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And listeners, that was an insightful conversation with Daryl on the significant economic contributions of queer and trans-owned businesses, the systemic barriers they face, and why supporting them benefits everyone. CGLCC is dedicated to linking to SLGBTQI plus businesses to the wider corporate community and fostering economic growth. So please check them out. Again, thank you so much for tuning in to the podcast. Please visit our website, CanadianSME.ca, for more valuable information and tools. Special shout out to our partners, RBC, UPS, Avon Global College, and Google, for their ongoing commitment to empowering small businesses in Canada. And until next time, please keep innovating and striving for success. We'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Canadian SME Podcast. Please visit CanadianSME.ca to subscribe and join us next again as we share more expert advice from Canadian business leaders.